world. We don't want to leave it in a sanctuary. So as she said, if you have a backyard and the cops aren't going to get called, we want to be able to worship in your yard. So you pray about it and you let us know, and we're just so blessed to be able to do that. So right now, before we get into the Word, if you would raise your Bibles and let's give God glory for His Word. Father, I thank You for Your Word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank You that all Scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful teaching, correcting, training in Your righteousness. Amen. Thank you guys for covering me. Still to this day, get confused. But we give You God glory for Your Word. We are starting a series called Inheritance to Legacy. Proverbs 13:22 says this: a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. And as my wife last week for Mother's Day talked about inheritance, what is that inheritance that we're leaving? Our inheritance is not just a financial number. It's more than that. Because if you look at inheritance, it's what you leave for the next generation or the generation after that to come. A good man, a man of God, a woman of God, leaves an inheritance to his children's children. A dear friend of the church, Roberto Rodriguez, who used to be former pastor of the Middletown Assemblies of God Church and now and has spoken here many times and is now pastoring a church in California, recently posted this on Facebook, and I just loved it. And I wanted to share this with you this morning. He says, how is it that we have many churches in our cities, including mega churches, and yet society grows worse? Could it be that we have concentrated on the wrong goal? It's not about church growth. It's about community transformation. It shouldn't be about being the fastest growing church or the largest congregation or having the most campuses. It's about transforming our communities and cities for what they are to what God desires them to be. We are not called to a church agenda, but to a kingdom agenda about the kingdom of God. Folks, there is a difference. Jesus created the church to be an instrument to expand His kingdom. The message was not, repent, the church is at hand. Instead, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And I love that, because there's some powerful things. One, it brings forth the recognition that what we do is not about only Bayshore Christian Fellowship. It's about growing the kingdom. It's BCF being a tool, an influence to transform our community for the kingdom of God. The other thing that I love about this is that, you know, there's a purpose to this, to what we are doing. There's a purpose and a direct focus on what God has for us. And that is, we're asking ourselves, how do we transform our community? I look around Keyport. Since we've been in Keyport, all we've seen and all I've heard is how so many generations and generations of people have grew up in this town. And you've got the same families associated with the same church buildings or church names for the last 50, 60, 70, 80 years. But how many are still actively pursuing the heart of God in their body of worship? You talk to somebody, one of the greatest, I want to say strongholds in this town, is you talk, go across the street, knock on a door. They open up, say, hey, we want to invite you to our church. We got this going on. What do they say? Oh, my family's a member of whatever it might be, the Methodist Church, Catholic Church, you know, Reformed Church, First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist. It doesn't matter. And you ask them, say, okay, do you go to church? How, that's great. You go to church often? Once in a while. They've got a heritage. They've got a history in terms of their family legacy with a specific thing, but they're not upholding it and they're not transferring it, nor is what they are doing transforming our community, making changes in our community. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. It's something meant to carry over to future generations. That inheritance is not always financial, but it's something through God. A true inheritance is something blessed and anointed of God. When it's done in His will, according to His word and His principles. Now, I wanted to look up in the dictionary, legacy and heritage. Because as we'll come to find, today we're going to talk about heritage. Next week, inheritance a little more deeply. And the final message in this series will be about legacy. So inheritance is sandwiched between heritage and legacy. But I looked up the two words, legacy and heritage, in the dictionary. The legal term for legacy is a gift of property, especially personal property, as money by will or a bequest. Or it's anything handed down from the past as from an ancestor to a predecessor. Heritage, something that comes or belongs to one by reason of birth. Something that's appointed to you by reason of birth. You were born into it. Which you hear a lot of people in New Jersey, period. Yeah, I'm Catholic. How often do you go to church? I don't, but my family's Catholic. And I just threw that out, but I can say it to any denomination. Any denomination. You hear that a lot in this state. So it's something by birth, inherited lot or portion. Something reserved for one. Another definition of heritage is something that has been inherited by legal descent or succession. Could be property, land, that devolves by right of inheritance. These are the dictionary definitions of legacy and heritage. But how do people on a plain, everyday living explain these things? If I were to ask you, what's legacy? Most people will say simply, it's the legacy of what you leave behind. It's how people remember you. That's your legacy. Hear a lot about legacies when we do funerals or go to funerals. The word may not be directly used, but in people's remembrance of the deceased, they're talking about their legacy, what they've left behind for them. How they remember them, what they've taken from them. So in plain English, a legacy is what you leave behind. The memories, thoughts, whatever it might be. Heritage, in plain English, is what's left for you. My heritage is what was left to me by my father, or is being left to me by my father and grandfather and his father and so forth. Heritage is what was left for you, where you've come from, something that's already been established for you. That's heritage. Now, we're talking about here in the church, and we're talking about us as creation of the living God and His workmanship, purposely, wonderfully made in His image for His purpose to glorify and transform this world, our community, for the kingdom of God. You can't have godly heritage without God. So God helps someone in our generation establish or reestablish a heritage that allows us to leave an inheritance based on that heritage. And that leads to the legacy that we leave behind, which then establishes a heritage for the next generation. And it goes on and on. So, what I establish now, I'm going to be able to pass on in an inheritance to the next generation. And therefore, when I go, what I have left them is a legacy of something that they can now build on. Now, we've talked in the past in this church about generational curses. Those go hand in hand with heritages, what's been established. That's why I say, and if you want to talk about that, we can talk at a privately. You can see me afterwards about generation curses and breaking those things, because they do go hand in hand with heritage. But we can start today a new heritage by breaking a generational curse of an old heritage. In other words, doing things the wrong way, being misunderstood. How many white people, Caucasians, who were born in the South in the early 1900s and mid-1900s had to break in some point in their family line the generational curse of slavery mindset? And for some, they're still trying. That's just one example. But what we establish today is what we can pass on tomorrow and will be our legacy when we go to the next world, when we go to be with Christ. And what affects what we do now affects what we're able to leave behind, which affects what is available to those we leave it for. Let me say that again. What I do now affects what I leave behind, which affects what is available to whom I leave it for. Does that make sense? You with me so far? What I do now affects what I leave behind, what I can pass on, which affects what's available to them. I want to share a couple of testimonies today from my own life. You know, I never really appreciate this or realized how much this carried into it. My wife recognized it before I did. The heritage that I have and the legacy that was left for me. My father's father, many of you know, was a minister. My grandfather was the only Christian minister in the Muslim nation of Jordan in his day. He actually ministered to the king of Jordan directly. He was friends with him at that time. And he would travel 6 miles walking back and forth. Those stories are true that we've heard to get there in those days. My father is in the ministry and has been a minister. And now me. And growing up in high school, I purposely told God I never wanted to be a pastor. I knew I was being called into ministry. I was willing to accept youth work or children's work. But I told God, don't use me that way. I refuse. But God had other plans, thank God. And looking back at this now, there was a legacy left for me in the heritage that my grandfather established. I don't believe his father was in the ministry. I don't know much about that side of the family. But I do know what my grandfather established, whom I never met, by the way. He passed away when my dad was a teenager. 9, thank you. She knows more than I do. But that heritage was established for me then. And it was established for my father to continue in the legacy my grandfather left behind. And that foundational heritage continues to this day in me. And I pray to God and I thank God that our children that we will bear are going to continue in that heritage, serving the Lord in the name of the Lord. That's just one element of heritage. You know what heritage was also established in my life? Was with my grandfather on my mother's side. They were nominal Catholics. My grandfather and grandmother on my mother's side were nominal Catholics growing up in Beirut, Lebanon. But it was my grandfather's salvation and his relationship with Jesus. He basically looked at his wife, my grandmother, and their six daughters, and said, "We're going to the Baptist church." And that was it. That was it. My entire mother's side of the family became Christian, accepted the Lord as their Savior, and began a walking relationship with Jesus Christ. That was a heritage that my grandfather had to establish, and something he had to break to reestablish, a true living relationship with God. And guess what? We're talking about the 60s and the late 50s. 60, 70 years later, his heritage lives on in his kids and grandkids to one degree or another. Now it's up to us to firm it up even more, this generation, to maintain it and pass it on in an inheritance in the legacy we leave behind. So establishing a heritage, what we establish now will be passed on. Think about the things that we as people kind of establish. You know, honor, how to respect. Lifestyle. The lifestyle we live is the lifestyle we will pass on to our children. The lifestyle that our kids watch us live is the lifestyle they will think of as being normal, as the way it should be. The way your mom and dad raised your siblings and yourself is the way in your head you would do that. The way your mom or dad might have folded towels, believe it or not, is the way you're going to fold towels and what you may be passing on. Your lifestyle, your honor, your values, the values that you leave behind. Your personal values, things that are important to you. One of the values that my father left me was the prayer life. My father never made a hasty decision, whether it was about finances or anything else. It was, let me pray about it and I'll get back to you. He never made a hasty decision. And that's a value in our family. And that's a value for me. That's established in my heritage. Pray over things, everything. But then we also have values in the church. We look at our church values, and this was actually an assignment we did this week, looking at, you know, what are the values of Bayshore Christian Fellowship that we want to leave to the next generation, that to establish as a heritage and an inheritance to the next generation. Well, number one is we're a worshiping church. That everything we do is to get into the presence of God. You do that by entering His gates with thanksgiving in your heart and His courts with praise. You worship Him. Value is we're a worshiping church. Next is we are an equipping church. How do we transform our community? By giving our community, the people in the community, the tools they need to transform. I can't begin building a building if I don't have the tools to dig up the ground. So it's equipping. And we're going to equip those who want to be equipped, leaning in. I'm not going to put a shovel in the hand of somebody who I know is just going to use it to stand like this and chill out all day long, chewing gum. The ones that are leaning in that says, "Yes, I'm ready to get my hands dirty," they're the ones that are going to get equipped. So if you're not getting equipped, first ask yourself, am I desiring to be equipped? What do I have to do? How I need to want this. I got to get into this. It's got to come from your heart to want this. Love. Love has to be a number one value and a super important value. Bible even says, you know, pursue love above all, desire spiritual gifts. Our spiritual gifts without the character qualities of the fruit of the Spirit are useless to God because they won't be done with the heart of God. Love. The greatest of these is love. We need to love each other. If there's issues of unforgiveness, whether it's within our body or within people in our community, we need to go out there and repent and ask for forgiveness. Love is what keeps the channel open between us and God and keeps His presence flowing. That's a big time value. our identity in Christ, who we are in Christ. And I'll be the first to tell you, I struggle with this sometimes too. When I start to get depressed or have a pity party and feel low about myself or my circumstance, even struggling this week with feeling overwhelmed about some things, you know, the first thing I lose sight of is my identity with Christ. I forget that I'm a prince in heaven, co-heir with Christ. Forget that God said to me, you're more than a conqueror, that you're a priest, that you've been chosen and part of my chosen generation. It's one of those things that when we start thinking one way about ourselves and who we are and what we're dealing with, we forget what God's saying about us. These are values to establish as a heritage. You know who you are. That's going to be passed on because you're going to be able to encourage people in the same way. Study. The Word of God is foundational. That is the ground floor. We don't move. Whether it's in our HD groups to get people learning how to use their Bibles. You know, when we started giving God glory for His Word, you know what? I got a ton of criticism. Ton of people who said to me, what, we're trying to be just like Joel Osteen? Said no. But what was happening is nobody was respecting the Word of God. People were coming to church without their sword, without the Word. And if they're coming to church without the Word, how many are opening the Word at home? We need to teach our people of the importance of God's Word, of getting into it, that this is life. His Word is our breath that we breathe. It's His life within us. And not just to how to read it, but how to study. This is a value here. And it's got us, we're starting from the youngest of age too. Kids and teens. Living life on a mission. We can't transform our community if we're stuck at home. And missions does not always mean going across seas. Another value we need to establish in our heritage is that we're building. You live a life of mission. Guess what? Your mission field is your neighborhood, is your town. Guess what? A missions project is when we hold a reclamation in someone's backyard. A missions project is when we get out there and do something with the community and influence and impact, like a Relay for Life thing. That's living life on a mission. A mission is taking somebody, neighborhood kid, inviting him to church or inviting him to go to a ball game with you and spend some time with him. It's loving on them. It's making friends with the neighborhood people. Our goal is to be a missional-minded church where we are thinking that way. We're not thinking that people only can come to the church. Let's take the church out to them. Amen. And let this be an equipping center rather than just a place where we can draw people in. People will come when we become what we're meant to be in the presence of God. And then finally, releasing. We're a releasing church that we're sending people out. I want to share with you something I read this morning, and God's timing is absolutely beautiful. It's not going to be on PowerPoint. It's Romans 10:4. I'm sorry, 10:14. This is what Paul writes. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Paul takes it backwards. How are people... Sorry, lost my spot. Here we go. How are people going to call out the name of Jesus, cry out to him, worship him, seek him, if they haven't believed in him? How are they going to believe in him if nobody tells them about him? Because they haven't heard. And how are they going to hear if nobody preaches to them or shares with them? And how are they going to preach if they're not being sent out? So he worked it backwards. We have to send out our disciples to preach so people can hear, so they can believe, so they will be equipped to know how they can call on his name. Releasing. This is one of the values we have to do. Other things are with heritage, you know, traditions, attitudes, behaviors, position. These are things that are all passed down. Integrity, ministry, passion for Christ. These are things that we need to pass down and establish as a foundation to the heritage that we will be leaving behind, that people would know. But the first part of establishing our heritage is establishing it in the grace of God. It has to be founded in His love. Love is above all else. The foundation or the groundwork is laid in love. And there's two parts of love. His love and our love for Him. 1 John 3:1 says, "What manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." We acknowledge what manner of love, how special is this love, how important and pivotal is this love. Don't take this love for granted that declares you children of God. And that fits in with the identity. When you know you are loved to that degree, you know whose you are. You know who you are. What manner of this the Father has bestowed, placed on us. Pass that down. Establish that as a foundation. Psalm 61:5 says, "For you, O God, have heard my vows, and you have given me the heritage of those who fear your name." Lord, you've heard me cry out. My heart reach out to you. And you heard my prayers, my cries, and you've placed in me this heritage, this love thing of those who have reverence. Remember, biblical fear is reverence. Really awesome, awestruck reverence for who God is. You've given me this awestruck reverence, this fear of those who have reverence for your name. You've placed this in me that I know that I get on my knees before you. That I know who you are as a sovereign God, and that what manner of love that this God has placed on my life. What manner of love he's bestowed on me. And I translate that. I leave it as a heritage. I establish it as a foundation. And then our love for him and for others because of his love for us. Exodus 23:25 says this, "So you shall serve the Lord our God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from your midst." He will bless our bread and our water and take sickness away after we do what? Bless. Serve the Lord our God. I serve him. Lord, I serve you. And we talked about bondservant, what that all means, that when you serve God, it's a choice you're making out of a compassionate, willing heart. That, Lord, I choose to serve the Lord my God, because he will bless my bread and my water, and he will take away sickness from my midst. That's his promise. That's his promise. In that love. 1 Timothy 5:8. "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Do you hear that? If anyone is not provided, what's he talking about, provided? Because if he doesn't, he's denied the faith. What's that provision he's talking about? Yes, maybe it has elements of food and water and shelter and bed to rest on. But that's not what he's really referring to at the core. He who's not established a foundation of faith for loving God. What does Joshua say? As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. We will choose to serve the Lord. If you have not established that in your household, began to establish and root that foundational thing that becomes part of your heritage, worse than an unbeliever. Establish that. And again, I'm sharing all this. Don't you dare allow the enemy to make you feel guilty if you are not right now. Do not let the enemy speak shame unto you right now. Because at any given moment, we can start new ground right now in Jesus. So I want to pray real quick. Lord, right now I come against any spirit that tries to antagonize the soul. That's going to try to put thoughts of guilt and shame and feeling unworthy. In Jesus' name, and I bless everyone here right now with a spirit of confidence in you and boldness and the fact that you are the Redeemer, the Restorer, the Reclamator who can take what is old and make it new and fresh again. In Jesus' name, amen. So fight that if that's you right now. Because you're going to have an opportunity today to just lay it all out again. Let's break brand new ground with Jesus. Psalm 127:3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of a womb, fruit of the womb, a reward. So God even establishes the heritage for us to bear children. He established it when his love for us and his love for one another, and you bear children in love. You love your children as a father loves their son, mother loves their son and daughter. God loves his children. We just read that. What manner of love is the Father bestowed on us? He told Adam and Eve, go, be fruitful, multiply. So he established that heritage from the get-go. He established what love is from the get-go. But then also heritage is not only founded in love, and it's also, but it's established in his spirit. Romans 8:14, for as many are as led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. These are sons of God. And if you read the book of Romans, especially the first 10 chapters, which I've been going through a lot lately, Paul spends a whole lot of time talking about how our faith and the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of God, living inside of us, brings forth that adoption in Christ, that we become descendants of Abraham because of that spiritual adoption we have, because of his Spirit coming alive. So as many are led by the Spirit, this leading by the Spirit is not a one-time thing. It's rightfully written for as many as are being led every day, all the time, by the Holy Spirit. They are sons of God. So it's a continuation. It's not I'll be led now, but not later, or today and not tomorrow. It's a reference to walking with the Lord, establishing that heritage of a godly walk. And I thank God, my Father established that with me in my life and my sister's life, being a praying man. I thank God for parents who establish a heritage that you don't miss church. You don't forsake, as Scripture says, the fellowship of the believers. I mean, I can literally tell most of you that I can probably count on my hands and toes how many times I've missed church if I wasn't deathly ill. But every Sunday we were in church. And it was in me that, hey, when I went and accepted a job, used to work at Acme, sorry, I can't work Sunday mornings. A few years ago when I was working at Riverview Medical Center, my boss decided to change our schedule where now I had to work Sundays. And he would not let me come in and work in the evenings. I looked for a new job because I was not going to miss the fellowship of the believers Because this was something that was established in me that's important. And I believe it's important to the heart of God. So Romans 8, 16, 17 continues, "The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then what? Heirs." The heritage you're establishing is that of a kingdom. The heritage we establish in this power of the Holy Spirit is the knowledge that we are co-heirs with Christ. I want my son and daughter to always know who they are. And yes, as I said earlier, I struggle with that sometimes too. But I thank God that he always brings me back to that place. And I don't want them to struggle with that. So I got to be stronger for them, for you, for my wife, for everyone else. And I've got to keep that for myself too. To always know that's how I walk as an overcomer in Christ Jesus. But then heirs, and the heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him together. And Deuteronomy 28, that's not 1 to 68. It's 1 to... "And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today," what you do today, being careful to establish these things today, "the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth." And when the Bible speaks of that, that what that's a reference to is that your reputation will be known all over the earth. You'll be known as worshipers. When I think of my grandfather I never met, all I think about is that he's a man of God who was bold enough to preach the word of God to kings and who was willing to do the hard work of walking 6 miles in blazing Jordanian heat to do what needed to be done. Think that's the heritage. Think about what we're doing now. "Being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you." The blessings. Don't make the mistake that the blessing always comes right now in terms of the way we see it. But the blessing of our faithfulness to God's commands is established in heaven, and we reap it in the generations to come. We reap it in the generations to come. It's like leaving a several million dollar inheritance to a child, but because they don't know how to manage money, it's blown in the first 2 years. Versus leaving $150,000 to your child, but you taught them well in managing their funds, and they're able to grow that and make it last the rest of their lives. And bless them the rest of their lives. That God will establish and will bless. Blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. You will be known, your reputation, your legacy that we will get to will be this. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God, blessed shall you be in this city. You will be known as blessed. BCF will be known as a church that worships, as the church that moves in the power of God, is a church that equips people to fight the good fight, as Paul writes, and win, because their weapons are not flesh and blood, but in his spirit. They fight in the spirit of God, but in the word of God, and they know how to use their armor. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, the generations that your heritage is establishing for them. And the fruit of your ground, and the ground of your cattle, and the increase of your herds, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl, what your hands touch. What you do shall be blessed, shall be anointed by God for the purpose of God. I'm blessed for the purpose of God. I'm blessed in the kingdom of God for the kingdom of God. I'm anointed in the kingdom of God for the kingdom of God, advancing the kingdom of God. My purpose is to do that. And within that, we lay and establish a heritage that others can continue, that can look back on. Word of God says, train up a child the way he should go. And when he gets older, they'll not depart it. We know what that means. We don't take that literally in that they will never depart. But what we know that means is we establish a foundational heritage of who God is in their lives through his word and how to call on his word and stand on his word and rely on his word and move in the power of the Holy Spirit as his word comes to life in our lives. So that when they do rebel, when they do mess up, when they're all the seeds are there, the foundational heritage is there, all they have to do is turn around and get back on that ground. And they can walk again. They can start over. It's there for them. That heritage is there for them. If I ever quit praying, I know that my dad laid a heritage of a praying man. I can go back to that. I can remember his example. And I can go back to what my dad did because it worked for him. We lay that down. What works? What is God's heart? What is effective? What is impactful for the kingdom of God today that's going to benefit the future? And, you know, I'm looking at the young people here in this room that are here now and were there here earlier. They can establish a heritage for those after them. And those in front of them now. Some of us are in households that there is no godly heritage established. Guess what? We're the agents of change and the agents of establishment that can start it today. Next week, we'll talk about that inheritance of that heritage that is left. But today, think about what God wants for us now. We start over today. Some of us just need to build on what's already been established for us. We give glory to godly parents. We give glory for the godly heritage that the churches we used to go to and those who've influenced us spiritually impacted us in, that brought us to this point today. But let's build on that. Let's establish, make it even stronger for those that are yet to come or coming after us. Those we are mentoring and discipling. Those values that we value as church, that you value in your home that reflect the heart of God. Let's establish them today. So bow your heads with me right now. And I want you to specifically ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you right now, what does he want to establish in you right now in this heritage? What does he want you to form in you? What do you need to declare? And in a way like Joshua committed and said boldly, as for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. We will serve the Lord. There's an area in your life that you need to declare that in and begin working towards establishing it. So just ask the Holy Spirit to show you what it is and how to begin. Yes, Holy Spirit, come minister right now, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, right now, right now.